believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Cards. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. I want to thank RJ Hinder. Great show. I actually got to listen to about the last half hour of RJ's show. Good stuff. I got to tell you, yesterday was a very trying day for me. It started off with coming into the studio and having issues with the ISDN line here in the studio. And, of course, during the second segment, that and then transitioning to the Skype. So just a little frustration there. Then I went, I had breakfast after the show. I went and I had breakfast with Dave Champion. And we probably sat for about an hour and a half talking about a number of things. Certainly you're going to hear about that on his show today, which is 3 o'clock Central. And then afterwards, I go home, and I've mentioned on the show here, for about the last month, I've had issues with my laptop, which is my primary computer. That is my primary connection with the outside world. I have a desktop, and I have it in an office. I have a couple of large walk-in closets in my house, in the master suite, and one of them I've converted into an office because it's big enough it can be a small office. So now I lock myself in this little office to do a lot of the computer work rather than using my laptop out in the living room, which is what I like to do on a little TV stand, and I'm out there with, you know, the house and everybody, and that's what I like to do. But this computer's been giving me trouble. So I get a hold of Hewlett-Packard because it's an HP Pavilion, and I let him know, look, I'm having these video problems, this is what's coming up, blah, blah, blah. And it's one of these things where you you kind of type back and forth over the internet with these Hewlett-Packard technicians. You always get a different one. And the last one I got was some curry puff that tells me, okay, you need to do a full system reset on the computer. I said, all right, that means it's going to erase everything I've got on here, correct? Yes, all right. So I go spend about $120 I really don't have on a 500 gigabyte external hard drive to back the whole thing up. Finally, I decide, all right, you know what? This is a couple weeks ago going. I get the whole thing backed up a couple days ago, and I finally decide I'm going to do the full system reset, and I hope this works. It's been a video-related problem, which makes it to where I can only operate the computer in safe mode. There's no video. There's no sound. There's no nothing. So it's tough to, like, click on the YouTube links that everybody sends to me about political-related things. So I do the full system reset, and guess what? It doesn't work. Computer's still in a basket. So now I've got a completely useless $1,200 Media Center laptop. Useless, for the most part. Now what I've got to do is try and do what I figured is the right solution, which is get a new video card in the thing. Now I build my own desktop computers. I don't go out and buy them. I buy the components and build my own. I have no idea how to build a laptop. I've never even seen the insides of a laptop except for, well, on a computer screen when I'm looking at a picture of one. So, anyhow, very frustrating. From there, it goes into a whole issue with trying to file some papers in court, which doesn't quite go my way. I've got to go back in there this week and try again. Just so many things. Just yesterday was such a frustrating, tiring, miserably mental beatdown of a day. I was in bed at 9. I usually don't go to bed till about 11, 11:30, 12. I was in bed at 9. I didn't wake up till 5:30 this morning. So I'm rested, still remembering the frustrations of yesterday, hoping today goes better. I'll fill you in a little bit about what's going to be going on today when I come back. Stay tuned. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio. Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2,
Don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3. Listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. So, today, after the show, I've got to go to the shop, weld up a couple of last little bits and pieces on a couple of target stands, and then go out and I'm doing a private tactical shotgun training with a client in Las Vegas. So we'll be doing that for the remainder of the day, and then continue on with there. It's probably going to be several days with this particular guy. He's a professional in Las Vegas with a... very changing sort of schedule, so I'm trying to be available for him. We're going to do shotgun followed by handgun, and we might actually even get into a little bit of rifle. That's entirely up to him. So the remainder of the day from here is going to be busy, 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 which will be fine. Tomorrow, of course, is Veterans Day, and I'd like everybody to remember Veterans Day. I had a lot of intents to put together a special Veterans Day show, considering all of the things that have been piled on me in the last couple of weeks. I simply have not been able to get that done. So I will be on the air tomorrow, but I will not have anything special brewed up for Veterans Day, which is sad for me. I really enjoy doing things special for things such as like I did with the 9/11 show, as I did with Independence Day. So please remember to thank a veteran tomorrow. Please remember to thank anybody who's an active service member. You know, one of the things that I do on a regular basis, if I see somebody who is in uniform that is an active duty service member, if I can get to them and shake their hand and say, thank you for serving, that's exactly what I do. I see it quite a bit at the airport, you know, different people in the service, you know, transitioning from point A to point B. Of course, you never see a Marine dressed in any sort of fatigues unless they're actually on the JOB, but they just... That's one of the things, is you're not going to wear any sort of uniform off the base unless you're off the base doing official business, which would normally be maybe like a recruiter or something rare such as that. Anyhow, with that being said, thank a veteran. Thank somebody who's actually an active service member. So that's really what I want to pass off there. I want to talk a little bit about tactical shotguns since I'll be out doing some training with a client today. Shotguns are an excellent home defense weapon. This particular client, I haven't met him face-to-face yet. We've exchanged many emails. We'll be meeting in about 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours, going out, spending the rest of the day doing some training. This particular client was the victim of a robbery slash car theft. He pulls his car up. He's got a decent car. Pulls his car up, gets out of the car, goes to the ATM machine, leaves his handgun, he's a CCW holder, leaves his handgun in the car. Car door's open, car's running, handgun's in it, he's at the ATM. Well, somebody was waiting for him, comes up and robs him, takes his money, and then tells him, get in there and get more money. You know, most ATMs, most accounts, you can only get $300 a day. You know, you're not going to get more than $300 a day. Most everybody has that kind of a limit on there. So, this guy, as I understand, quite wisely starts playing like he's fumbled and erratic and like he's losing his mind. Bad guys are on a time crunch. They can't stand there out in the open being bad guys for a real long time before something doesn't go their way. So the bad guy says, forget it. Hops in the guy's car and takes off. Well, they find the car several blocks away. He dumped the car, got out, and went and did something else. So he got his car back. He was only out the few bucks that he got out, a couple hundred dollars. But yet, it changed his impression. It changed his world just a little bit. So he wants to learn how to use the handgun for self-defense, which is good. I mean, he's got a CCW, but now he realizes, you know, even if I had the handgun on me, I'm not so sure I would have known what to do. He's one of the lucky ones. That's when most people realize that they don't have the right training. At the moment where they need to use the gun. Now, his gun was left in the car. Even if he did have it on him, he's still realizing, okay, here's a bad guy with a gun. What do I do? He realized at that moment he didn't have the training. So he gets himself a tactical shotgun so he can have it for home defense. Good choice. There's really four options for guns in the home I guess five options. One is don't have a gun. But the real, the four options are handgun, shotgun, rifle, and in some areas of the country, actually, a submachine gun, if you're allowed to get one where you live. Of the four, it's my belief, my true live professional belief, that a submachine gun is a fantastic choice for home defense because it's shorter than the rest of the long guns. It's certainly bigger than a handgun. Now, it'll a machine gun and a submachine gun, here's the difference. I've described this before. I'll hit it again. A submachine gun shoots a handgun caliber round. A machine gun shoots a rifle caliber round. It's not the size, it's the round that comes out. There are some submachine guns that are really big, such as an AR-15/M16 that's been converted to shoot 9mm. It's the size of a full-size rifle, but it's a submachine gun if it's full auto, if it shoots 9mm. On the other hand, there are some guns that are very small that fire full auto or select fire, that fire the .223/5.56mm round. It's the same thing that you get out of an AR-15 or an M16. They are much smaller. They're not a submachine gun because they are small. They are a machine gun because they shoot a rifle round. With that having been said, the submachine gun is a fantastic gun because you can mount a light to it, which is momentary on and off. It's shoulder mounted, so you got 4 points of contact. You got your shoulder, you got your firing hand, you got your support hand, and when you actually bring the thing up to shoot, you've got a cheek weld. So it's much more stable. And if you learn the proper trigger control, you can deliver 2 to 3 rounds rapidly on a single target without fail. And you've got a whole lot of ammo in the magazine. You know, with a normal handgun, you're going to put 2 to 3 rounds into a bad guy anyhow. But you're going to be limited with a handgun magazine capacity of anywhere from 5 up to maybe 18. With a submachine gun, you're probably going to have 25 to 40 rounds in it. And you're going to get those hits a lot faster because they come out a lot faster. You don't have to reset the trigger each time. You know, proper grip and stance, proper technique with the gun. There's 2 or 3 rounds in there. Now, let's take the submachine gun out of the equation. That actually introduces kind of a problem three issue. Problem one is a bad guy. Problem two is how to handle the police when they show up. Problem three is how to handle any civil litigation that may come from this. So problems one, problems two, problems three. They come in that order. First, you're going to have a bad guy to deal with. If you have to shoot him, then you have the police to deal with. They come rapidly after the shooting. And then problem three might come months and months and months down the line when you have any civil litigation you may have to deal with. So that leaves handgun, rifle, shotgun. Not a big fan of a handgun for home defense unless you're really trained up with it. Now, I have a handgun literally attached to my bed with a light attached to it. I'm a little bit more tuned up than the average shooter, and I practice clearing my house with it. I also am able to get to my shotgun pretty quickly if I hear something that's not in the bedroom. If I get surprised in the bedroom, somebody's able to come in and here they come, I've got the handgun. Otherwise, I can grab the handgun, sneak over to my shotgun, grab it, and go. If that opportunity presents itself. I don't expect that it necessarily would, but if it does, there I go. With rifles, okay, you have a couple of things to deal with. First, they're really, really loud. You're going to have some permanent hearing loss. Same with anybody else in the immediate area. Like if you find a bad guy in your kid's room at night and you blast them with a rifle, you, the kid, and the bad guy are all going to suffer hearing loss. Now, of course, the bad guy's going to suffer a little bit more loss than that. However, hearing for you and your kid, unless you have a suppressor on it. And if you have a suppressor on it, well, if you have a suppressor, you could also get a submachine gun. Just get one of those. And if you got a submachine gun, get a submachine gun with a small suppressor on it. I suggest Don Wagon Connect at Ozark Armory. So, what's this leave? The shotgun. I love the tactical shotgun for home defense. Big, big fan of the tactical shotgun for home defense. For a number of reasons. First of all, let's describe a tactical shotgun. It's not what you go hunting birds with. You could use the same gun, but you're going to have to do a couple things with it. A tactical shotgun would be one of two actions. Pump or semi-auto. Now, there are some semi-autos that are magazine fed. That's the Sega, for instance. The Sega is a semi-automatic shotgun. And it's based on the Kalashnikov style action, like the AK-47. Not the most reliable right out of the box. You usually have to do a few things to it to get the action up to speed and make sure you've got good, solid, reliable magazines. That's all I'm going to say about the Sega. Then we're going to get into some other pumps and semi-autos. You want to go with a good, solid name brand that has a history behind it. Also something that can be adaptable, easily adaptable, so that you can actually get the different accessories put together on this gun to make it worthwhile as a tactical shotgun. You've also got to figure out what gauge shotgun you want to go with. Of course, there's the most populars out there, 410. There's 28, which isn't really that popular anymore, 20, 16, which is kind of hard to find, 12, and 10. So we'll discuss the different gauges of what to look for in a tactical shotgun and what to look for in different pump and semi-autos when we come back from the break. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about tactical shotguns when I return. This is your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Okay, back on it. Now, we're talking about tactical shotguns. I have two different tactical shotguns. I have a semi-auto, and I have a pump. And I really... When it comes to my guns, I don't own as many guns as I once used to. But the guns I own are much better. I used to own many guns, and I probably had a value of about, I don't know, maybe $20,000 in guns. I now own less guns, but the value's up to more like $30,000 or $35,000 worth of guns. Because I have much better stuff. I had a shotgun stolen from my place of work once upon a time. I had an industrial sign company, and I had it in an industrial area, and I brought my tactical shotgun at the time, which is a Remington, I'm sorry, it was a Mossberg 500, up there to change out a couple of parts here and there. It was there for maybe three or four days, then it was going to go back home with me. And as it turns out, the place was broken into, my shotgun was stolen. Well, I found out later, much later, that it was one of my employees, imagine that, who had an arrest record, imagine that, that got in there and took the shotgun. Anyhow, I found out that my insurance had a $1,000 deductible on gun coverage and a $2,000 limit. So if I lost a $2,000 gun, the most I was going to be able to collect was a grand. If I lost all of my guns, the most I was going to collect was a grand. Right, and that particular shotgun was only worth about $1,000, so maybe $900. That particular one worth about $900, so I wasn't going to get anything anyhow. And it totally cheesed me off because I had put in for a supplemental firearms insurance policy. So I talked to my insurance agent, and the agency had changed hands. My actual previous agent had developed a garage storage system that hangs from the ceiling and started doing gangbusters on that and sold off his agency. And so he was no longer my agent, it was other people. So I told them, I said, look, I know that I signed up for an insurance policy for my guns, a supplemental policy. We don't have one, okay? I'll tell you how I know I did my part. Go to my file and something tells me you will have an Excel spreadsheet of all of my guns with descriptions and serial numbers. Go find it and call me back. So they found it. They called me back. Yeah, in fact, we have a list of all of your guns right here on this Excel spreadsheet. I said, you probably have three or four, all dated, and when I change, you know, when I sell something or buy something, you see a change. Yes. Okay. Why in the living hell would you have a copy of my guns if I had not signed up for a supplemental policy? Their response was, wow, that's a very good point. We really dropped the ball. Sorry, Mr. Carnes, you don't have a policy still. So I personally went to the office. I personally took the list of all of the guns that I had out. And then I ended up setting fire to those lists because there was only two people that had a list of all of my guns. Me and my insurance agent. And now that my insurance agent wasn't covering them, there was absolutely no reason for them to have a copy of it. Same thing when I lived on base at Dugway Army Proving Ground in Utah. They required a list with descriptions and serial numbers, blah, 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 of all my guns. I already had it from my insurance agent. So I gave it to them. And when I moved off base, I went there and I talked with the person who was in charge of it. And I said, you no longer need a list of my guns. I'd like to have that list back. I'd like to make sure it's deleted from the computer. Well, I was familiar with this person. I'd done some firearms training, trained them in some firearms. So this individual went there and said, sure, no problem. Here's the copy of your list, which inevitably got set fire to. And I watched as this person deleted everything out and asked if there's any backup. Well, the backup ends up being blah, blah, blah. I did it off the server. It's all good. It's all gone. Okay, good. So I'm now still the only one that has a list of all of my guns. I'm sorry. I have a new insurance company with a new policy. All that being said, the NRA actually covered that gun. With that, I got out of the Mossberg 500. There's also the Mossberg 590, which is a little bit more sturdy. And I got into a Remington 870, much better gun. The reason I prefer the Remington 870 over the Mossberg 500 or find it 90 is this, simply stated. When I worked at Front Sight, one of the things I did at one particular point in time while I worked out there for about a year was I would go in and I would do a lot of the firearms maintenance. If an AR or an M16 or an Uzi or a shotgun or a handgun went down, I would go in there and repair these things or replace parts. After a given four-day tactical shotgun course, there was a bunch of rental guns out there. Those are the guns I was fixing. The rental Mossberg 590s and 500s, I would have to replace parts with. The Remington 870s, which were the same age, all I had to do was clean. So I had to fix the 500s and 590s and clean the 870s. So just that experience got me to realize the 870 is a stouter gun. And that's an actual real-life practice. And the 870s had more rounds through them because the 500s and 590s would break. We'd have to give them a different gun. So because they weren't running as many rounds, they weren't quite as well worn in or used. The 870s were tougher. Big fan of the 870. So we'll go in a little bit more into pump and semi-auto shotguns when I return. Check your insurance policy status on your guns. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
When it comes to pump shotguns, I'm a big fan of the 870. There's the 870, there's the 870 Police. It's all good. You don't have to get yourself wrapped around the axle about which one. Should I get the 870? Should I get the 870 Magnum? Should I get the 870 Police? Should I get the 870 Police Magnum? Just get an 870. I don't care which one you get. All right, you don't need to go spending the extra amount of money. What the difference is with the Police and the Police Magnum is just it's tit for tat when it comes to the standard 870. Here's the thing, though. You've got to realize a tactical shotgun used for defensive use will have an 18 to 20 inch barrel. Now, some police departments will actually go with like a 14 inch barrel. The thing is with a tactical shotgun, I am a fan of having the magazine tube the same length as the barrel. I have an 18 inch barrel on my shotgun. I have a magazine tube that extends out to the point where it is also 18 inches. If I had a 20 inch barrel, then my magazine tube would be a little bit longer. I could actually squeeze an extra round in there. If you have a 14 inch barrel, well, your magazine tube can't be longer than 14 inches. Can't have that magazine tube sitting further out than the barrel. I know some people do, but the thing is the length of the barrel, it's the longer the better, because you have a tighter pattern, generally speaking. When you have a tactical shotgun, you're talking about closer in support. So the shorter the barrel, this spreading conical pattern when it leaves the barrel opens up. Sometimes if the barrel's short enough, it opens up a bit too much. All right. So I'll describe to you my 870. I have a Remington 870. As a matter of fact, as it turns out, this 870, the base gun itself was given to me by a very, very good friend of mine, who's a retired after 33 years for Las Vegas Metro as a lieutenant. He actually ran for sheriff at one point in time, finished third in the race, did a very, very good job. A guy by the name of Steve Frank. Steve is a fantastic guy. Yeah, Steve was shivering cold, but he thought you might be shivering cold as well, he'd give you the shirt off his back and would get frostbite on his across his torso just so you were in better shape. He's that kind of a guy. He's a Vietnam Air Marine. Excellent, excellent guy. As a matter of fact, when he retired, he shoots competitions with the Uzi. And I had a custom Uzi stock made out of purple heartwood engraved, 33 years of dedicated service, retired lieutenant, blah, da, 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 all given to him. And I had all of the hardware that was attached to the stock. I had it finished in a satin nickel finish. So that satin nickel finish on top of a satin cover over a purple heartwood was a gorgeous stock. And that was his retirement gift, which... The guy that built the stock took a long time. It's actually a year after he retired. He finally got this stock. I got it. He got it. But anyhow, great guy. Steve actually, when I told him about how my 590 got jacked, what he did was he gave me an 870. He goes, look, this is an older gun. However, I just rebuilt the action at the 870 Remington Armors class. So it's basically new. It's like a rebuilt engine. Everything in it is new and everything. So awesome. Hey, thanks. So I took it, I put on a speed feed stock, and I put on the youth model speed feed stock. Because the length of pull, which means the shoulder stock, on most every long gun you get is going to be too long, especially on shotguns. I am 6 foot tall, and I shoot with a youth model stock because that's the right length. Okay, so I put that on there. I have the 18 inch barrel. I had the Vang Comp system put on it. Vang, V-A-N-G, Hans Vang. Is a guy, he's in Arizona. What he does is he takes the short-barreled shotgun barrels, and he makes the entire barrel, essentially, a choke. From the chamber, just forward of the chamber, all the way forward to the tip of the muzzle. And he makes it basically a choke. So my 18-inch barreled shotgun shoots a pattern similar to anybody with a 26, 28, 30-inch barreled shotgun. That's what the Vang Comp does. So I have that on the gun. The action, it's a pump action, so the action actually has the Surefire light attached to the front end, which has either a full-on, full-off, or a momentary pressure pad on-off. I've got a side saddle on the side, the left side of the action, opposite of the ejection port, which holds 6 rounds. And the whole thing, it's got a tack sling on, of course, just because all of those things come in black. I had the whole thing refinished in a black Teflon. That's my 870. And I have ghost ring sights on it with little tritium inserts, so in case it's really dark, I can still line up the sights and use them. Then I have a Benelli M4, which is fine right out of the box. What I did with it was I had the magazine tube extension put on at the end of the magazine tube so I can hold a couple more rounds in it. And I put ghost ring tritium sights in it. It's already got ghost ring sights. I just put the tritiums, replaced the factory ones with the ones that had tritium in it. And then recently, a friend of mine who owns a house across the street from me, he and his brother have been making these bolt knobs for the Benelli M4, which are bigger and badder. And he just gave me one of those recently. I just put that in. I haven't actually really run the gun with it, but later today I will. It's just easier to get to the bigger bolt knob. Oh, also on the 870, I have the larger Vancomp safety. It's a huge button. It's real easy to get to when it comes to going on and off. Very positive. So that, and then an ultra bright follower, which is the thing in the magazine tube. When there's nothing in there, you see this little follower. Mine's a very bright, kind of a neon yellowish green. So you get these things. You get the. You have to have a good, reliable gun. The Ithaca is actually a pretty good, pretty reasonably good, reliable pump shotgun. As is the Winchester, what is it, the Defender, I think is what they call it. That's yet another good defense shotgun. When it comes to the semi-autos, you got the Benelli M1. You got the Benelli M3, which is a combo pump and semi-auto. You need to do a few things to that to really make it reliable. You've got the Benelli M4, which rocks. Also a good shotgun, pump shotgun. You've got the Benelli Nova, which is a excellent pump shotgun. Let's see. Just stick with your name brands. You got the Remington 1100 and the 1187 that can be done up in a good tactical setup. As a matter of fact, a good friend of mine, the guy whose shop I used to build my stand creations, I knew somebody who was selling an 1187, an $850 shotgun for like $400. He was just out of money, out of time, and needed some dough, and he'd never really shot this gun. I got it. The deal scored away from my buddy Scott. He sent it off and had the whole thing tacked up. It's a gorgeous shotgun and it rocks. Plus, the 1187 is one of the has some of the lower felt recoil. So now let's talk about gauge. All right, a 12 gauge shotgun is the industry standard. You can do a 20 gauge shotgun. My ex-wife, when she became my ex-wife, I wanted her to be secure in her home. So I went down to Walmart and I got her a Remington 870 youth model in 20 gauge. Now that comes with a shorter wood stock. It comes with a 20 inch barrel. So what I did was I got the extension for the barrel. So now I'm sorry for the magazine tube. So it'll hold a couple more rounds. And on the stock itself, I put on one of these little slip-on nylon sort of things that you can carry a few extra rounds in, and a four-round side saddle for the side of the action. So, oh, and I think I put a light on it, like a pressure switch light as well. So it's still pretty standard, but I added these other things to it. And for a 20 gauge, the round to use is a number 2 buck, which is the largest caliber of BBs, pellets that go in there. So get number 2 buck. If you could get double aught or a number 1 buck for a 20 gauge, if those were available and you could get them, that's what you would get. But number 2 buck seems to be the best that you can get. For 12 gauge, double aught buck. That's it. No birdshot, no slugs, double aught buck. That's what you want. Okay? Double aught buck. I don't need, you could go triple aught buck if you want. Okay, but triple aught buck or double aught buck, I suggest the 2 3/4 inch reduce what they call them tactical or law enforcement loads. That's what I suggest. They don't kill your shoulder. The guns run reliably, and it's plenty enough to knock some poor SOB who's threatening the life of yourself or your family on their back. Some people want to go with a big 3.5 inch Magnum, which has 18 double aught buck pellets. Don't do that. All right, don't do that. Because you have to practice with this gun. Don't do that. Go with the standard 12 gauge. Go with the 2 3/4 inch tactical loads. That's what you use. Okay. And again, that's for the 12 gauge. For the 20 gauge, go with the number 2 buck, the tightest thing you can get. Birdshot doesn't work. If you were to take a piece of beef and you shot the side of the beef, these pellets wouldn't go more than about, I don't know, an inch or so or a half inch in. It's nothing more than a big, ugly flesh wound. All right? Do not give flesh wounds. You would not go hunting a deer with birdshot. You wouldn't do it. Okay? A deer and a man Let's say they're both about 200 pounds, all right? Or an antelope and a 160-pound man. You wouldn't hunt antelope with birdshot. You would use buckshot. Same thing with a human being. They're about the same size. They still have the similar organs, okay? So that's what you go with. You want, if you can get one with a light, make sure it's got a momentary on-off, that's fine. A light is not incredibly essential, but it does add a better element. However, realize that they can tell where the shine comes from, so you have to understand light discipline. You get all that sort of thing set up, there's your tactical shotgun, it's good to go. The condition you keep it in your house depends on who else lives in your house and what sort of training they may or may not have. All right? Of course, mine's good to go. My gun is just plain good to go. Grab the gun. I don't need to be going and doing a bunch of goofy stuff with it. Now, here's the other thing. If there's some sort of civil upheaval or like a Katrina sort of thing, a shotgun is a fantastic thing to have. You know, like in after post-Katrina, you had some packs of roving bad guys going to victimize people or ransack houses. Well, if they're on their way up to your house, you step out onto your porch with 12 gauges of shotgun, and they're looking down the business end of this bad boy. Whether you got the thing mounted to your shoulder or sitting by your hip and mounted to the shoulders of the place, any reasonable group of bad guys is going to look at that and say, okay, this house is secure. We don't need to go in there. We're moving on. You get somebody that maybe looks a little nervous. Nelly, they got their handgun. They really don't know how to operate the handgun very well. It shows. And that's just going to make that person even more of a victim. So, shotgun's a way to roll. Handguns are for personal defense. Shotguns, if you can get the opportunity to grab one of those, that's one of the very best friends man can have in a gunfight. So there you go. All right, I want to get to a listener email that came in. It says, Bill, I love your show. Do you know if there are any statistics which show what percentage of guns owned / used by criminals are illegal and unregistered? I can't believe all the nitpicking gun regulations for people like me when I have a bunch that most criminals and alleged justification of these regulations don't comply with anyway. So reading this, I'm thinking this person must live in California. It says, then, thank you for your expertise. I would come to your class, your 2A radio handgun class, but you would definitely lose patience with me, and I am only learning proper form and command of a revolver. This is from Roberta, a.k.a. Robbie, in Lompoc, California. Of course, registration with the guns and everything. First of all, Robbie, I want to address this. Revolvers are excellent defense tools, and you are not going to find me to lose patience with people. Here's the deal. A lot of people believe, erroneously, that I just teach these high-speed, low-drag classes. Okay, I also teach high-speed, low-drag classes. My specialty, really, well, I shouldn't say specialty. What I enjoy is teaching new or relatively new shooters to defensive guns. Just learn how to shoot the gun, learn how to run the gun, learn how to operate the gun. Then we'll get into some defensive nature with it. So, Robbie, you are the perfect person to come to the 2A radio handgun course we're going to be holding in March. I am exactly the person you want to have teach you. Okay? So, now that that's out of the way, let's talk about these percentages of guns. Generally, the FBI will put out their statistics of guns. However, they tend to avoid which are legally and illegally possessed. But I'll tell you this. If someone is a criminal and they have any sort of a conviction on their record, any sort of felony conviction, any sort of conviction where they had a gun offense, what like use of gun offense, any sort of conviction of domestic violence, they can't have a gun. So, now, here's the difference. If the number of crimes committed with a gun, there are more that are legally possessed than criminals who use guns, who are almost clear-cut in illegal possession of illegal guns. The reason there's a designation, sometimes you get people who just snap, like this Rashad Hala Amahassin, whatever the hell his name was, who shot up Fort Hood last week. Something tells me his guns were legally owned, legally possessed, and if he had to register them, they were probably registered. I don't think in Texas you need to worry about it. I'm not totally sure. All right. So that means a legally owned and legally possessed gun would have been used in a crime. However, when we're talking about like career criminals, guys, bad guys that carry guns to use them to further their criminal enterprise, you can pretty much flat guarantee all of those are illegal. Realize, Robbie, that gun control is not about guns. It's about control. They know that these anti-gun laws do not stop crime. They don't even slow it down. As a matter of fact, gun control laws, historically, in every area where they have been implemented, crime has increased. Gun crime has increased. Because if it's illegal to own guns, only criminals will have them. Not criminals because they're necessarily bad, but if they made guns illegally, if they made guns illegal, I would be an instant criminal. Because I would have guns. Not criminal by what I do, not criminal by my very nature or my actions, criminal because of a law that was passed. So, Robbie, come to the course. When I get everything set up, it'll be available online. You can go to the website, 2aradio.com, and get everything done. By the way, the email, bill@2aradio.com, for further emails if you want to contact me. And, yes, virtually all of these guns, for the vast portion, are illegal. Stay tuned, guys. More to come.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, you, those of you who've been listening for a while know that I do not shy away from controversy. As a matter of fact, I like to stick it in everybody's face. With that being said, of course, the bumper music, the intro and outro music that I use on 2A Radio, in the past has generated a little, well, that's a little heavy for RBN. So I want to play for you something that I'm thinking about using as the new show opener. So listen to this. It's a little over 1 minute.
If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, 2A Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
So there it is. What do you think about that? Send me your comments, bill@2aradio.com. It's probably going to get used regardless of your comments, because I dig it. But let me know what you think. Then again, I kind of like to, you know, ruffle the feathers a little bit here and there. So we talked about tactical shots today. Guns. One thing that I want to make sure that I mention is, if you happen to have a shotgun and you don't want to go out and buy a whole new shotgun, let's say you've got an 870, an 1187, or a 500 or a 590 already, and say it's your bird gun, well, that's fine. Just what you can do is buy a separate barrel for the gun, a shorter barrel. Just go to Brownells and order a shorter barrel, like an 18.5 to 20-inch barrel. You can take the hunting barrel off of your bird gun and then put the tactical barrel on there. So the tactical barrel is going to be on there much more, even if you only still have like the 3-round capacity, right? Better than nothing. Way better than nothing. I mean, still, three rounds of buckshot. Plus, you could have one in the chamber. You could have three in the chamber. If you need it, load one, thumb another one in there. Now you got four rounds of buckshot in the gun. In an 18.5 to 20-inch barrel. You can use that. Okay? That's good for clearing your house. Very good. Then when it's time for bird season, well, you just take that barrel off, put the other barrel on. Barrel exchange on most shotguns is real simple. All right? So just keep that in mind. Real easy to do. You don't have to go buy a whole new gun. You don't have to outfit it with all of the different stuff. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. I'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned for the Global Research Hour next, followed by Ernie Hancock. See you tomorrow.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.